patience. Miss Katie is waiting. I'm trying to carry a table without dumping a computer on the floor, which is a challenge. Did it. Okay, children ages 3 to 11. We have history makers at meeting at the back door. And we're good with children. You know, Harvey and Catherine and Kim were so blessed last night. I bet they haven't had that much life in that house in years, have you? Harvey said it was noisy. Loud. I think loud was the word he used. Aren't you glad for life? I'm glad for life. I mean, you know what happens to us guys that are retirement age and get old? We like our quiet. We like peace. We like, well, listen, the next step from that place is go to heaven. You know, it's good to have, and I appreciate what y'all did. Hannah and Bethany and Boone and Nathan, who I never met before. I appreciate y'all going to the trouble to come and visit these old stodgy people. Wasn't it fun? They said, Harvey said it was great fun. So, and they had some problems, which gives you opportunities, right? So I'm glad you're here. You know, you don't have any choice today. I want to challenge your thinking. I want to challenge your mind. Jesus, the Apostle Paul said, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. That's how we're transformed. As we're starting this new year coming up, you know, last year, Daniel preached a sermon on relationship and results, and we preached about that and how you live in that relationship and results and how you take the results to God and then you adjust and then you look at the results and you take those results to God and relationship. And that's the process that we live through. What I want to talk about today, this year, I believe, Jennifer was singing those songs today, and that one song, the first song she did, it was sort of peppy. I forgot the name of it, but it was peppy. I'm like, well, Jennifer, you know this, we may not have a real peppy crowd today. She said, I don't care because we're doing it by faith. I said, amen. I love that song. You know what? We are victorious. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. God has a plan and a purpose for us, and today I want to challenge your thinking. I want you to say, okay, God, I want to know, I want my mind to be transformed today according to your word, according to Scripture. And so I'm going to challenge your thinking this morning. And it's just the beginning today. We won't get very far today, but in the next few weeks, we're going to challenge you because I want to see your life transformed. I want to see you victorious in places you've never been victorious before. I want to see old habits broken. I want to see addictions released. I want to see someone who's unable to be loved able to receive love. I want us to be changed. I don't want you to just nod your head and amen and then come back next week the same way you left this week. And you know, that's what religion is. But we don't want to live that way. We want to live by life. And I think God has a plan for us. And so, you all know this verse that I was quoting, Romans 12:2, right? Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Well, that's great. You should be patient. You should be kind. Christians should be giving. Christians should not have addictions. Christians should not be cheating on their income taxes. Christians should not be killing two deer when the law says you can only have one. There's all kinds of shoulds for Christians, right? Our problem is, what if you can't do the shoulds? I look at those shoulds, not as what we do to become a Christian. It's what happens to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. So the should becomes an impossible thing to avoid. That I was telling somebody this morning, I don't remember, I think it might have been my granddaughter, my sister's not here. My younger sister's not here today, so I'll say this on her. Dana. Dana has always been real black and white. Like, she's 3 years younger than me, and we were little kids growing up, right? And but we sort of lost relationship about the time I turned 19 or so. And so I didn't know her. I didn't have a relationship with her for about 30 years. Maybe more than that. 40 years almost. Didn't really have a relationship with her. And then she and Gary, they had an encounter with God. They always were Christians, but something started happening in Gary and Dana's life. And they serve all the time. they have for years, but they also had something in their life that they couldn't get away from. You know, you don't want to talk about your thing that you've got. I'm not going to talk about it. They had something, and that thing in their life created a separation between them and our family. Like, we lived in the same town, but we didn't know each other. You know, it's like we were acquaintances, but we didn't know each other. And then something happened in Dana and Gary's life, and you guys know that have been here. They started coming to Grace. And I got to know my little sister again after 35 years. I mean, I knew her, but we weren't friends. We didn't hang out. She didn't know what was going on in my life. I didn't know what was going on in hers. Their son died. Their only son died not too long ago, and I got to be a part of that. And then it wasn't about a year ago. They've been here for a couple of years. A year ago, you know what my little sister said to me? She was just talking, because we never talked before. She said, you know, you were the meanest person I've ever known. I thought, thanks, Dana. And she knew some mean people. I'm telling you, she knew some mean people. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know where that came from? It came from the grace of God. As my mind was transformed and renewed by the Spirit, my behavior started changing. My behavior didn't change first. My attitude didn't change first. How I expressed myself didn't change first. That changed as God was transforming my mind. And so, but you see, what we do is we'll take it, we'll make it a law. Well, you're a Christian, you should be kind. I was a Christian whenever she said I was the meanest person she'd ever known. Well, you couldn't have been a Christian then. Oh, yeah? Yeah, you can. So today I want to talk to you about this is going to be an unstoppable year for you. I mean it. If you'll engage with the Spirit and you'll let God transform your mind, the results this year are going to be different than any other year in your life. Those things that you've been struggling with, you can be free from. The place you want, you know, who you want to be actually becomes a possibility. God's going to create this in your life. He's going to create a new want to in you. A want to. Not I have to, not forcing yourself to, a want to. I'm like, as I'm just thinking about what's happened in my life, what Dana noticed, I'm like, you know, I don't make myself be nice to people. I want to. I want to. Listen, don't come up and ask me for something. I'll give it to you. You know, I was talking to some of our people, and they're like, you know, we don't really need Alan to be the one that, you know, says yes or no about giving stuff away, because he'll give it all away. I'm like, yeah, I want to. I want to bless people. I wish I had more to give. I want you to be happy. I want to be bring life to you. It's like I really was proud of what Harvey and Catherine's young family came. You guys exploded on the scene with life in your house, Harvey. I've been in your house. It's nice. It's quiet. It's subdued. It's really good. It's just right next to Awake. No, I'm kidding. It's not that bad. Kim brings life. She forces him to do stuff. But it's like true. I see that. It's like, guys, God wants us to have life. An abundant life, an exciting life. And He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to be an overcomer when the reign of this world happens. And those of you that are getting to my age and beyond my age, guess what? Things happen when you get as old as we are. You know, it just does. You know, it just happens. Well, you can either triumph through life, or you can complain and gripe and moan and groan about it. You see, and we were talking this morning, Sherry and Stephen, Jeannie George passed away. You guys know that a few weeks ago. I don't know how long ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And they've been caring for her for years. I don't know how long, Sherry, y'all cared for her. Wow. That's a long time. And we knew her. She came here to Grace. She was part of Harvey's small group. She really is an amazing woman. I used to look at her and think, wow, Jeannie, you've done your life. You've done things, you know. But Stephen was talking about what that was like. And those of you who've ever been a full-time caregiver, as somebody goes through that last decade of their life, the last 6 years, the last 2 years, the last 3 months, you can't do that in your own strength. You have to have more. And Stephen was telling how God has changed him through that process, that like he just has been blown away with encounters with Jesus as he and Sherry have been caring for Jeannie. That's God. And what I want you to know is, how do you become that person that that becomes that? I don't know what happened to my computer. Did y'all see it, right? Yeah, there it is. So I want to talk about this. Position and process. Your position and your process. And I want to show you what the scripture says about that. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures today, of course. So Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? God saved you by his grace when you believed. Well, what did you have to do with it? It wasn't because of what you did. It was a gift. It wasn't because of your merit. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It was a gift from God. It's grace. And you know, and we believe. That's all we did. We believed. And I believe that we lived there. And you know, what the Bible says is the Bible talks about who we are in Christ, in him. It talks about, so the Bible just tells you hundreds of things about who you are in Christ, your position, and everything that you deal. The problem is, the Bible talks about that, but our process is what we're walking through right now. It's like, this is who I am because of what Jesus did, but this is my walk. And we all experience that. We all experience that in our lives. And so I want to talk about that because it creates a problem. Here's the problem. The Bible says who you are. Well, when will that happen? And I love that one song we were singing. I wanted to just stop it and say, listen, guys, we're not waiting till we get to heaven to experience the power and grace of God in our lives. That's not what we're doing. You see, we aren't waiting for that. Well, why is there this dichotomy? Why am I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Why am I sanctified? Why am I holy? Why am I born of the same womb that Jesus was born? Why am I his brother? Why am I seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven? Why, God, all these things? If you're a part of the faith movement, they were all these things. They're just quoted, quoted, quoted. But I got mad at my wife yesterday, and I thought a cuss word. I didn't say it, but I thought it. Maybe you said it. Well, but God says, right? Why this dichotomy? Why am I this, but this is how I live? And I want to talk about that today. You see, because you see it when you live, you're like, that's not who I am. Well, that dichotomy would drive you crazy and create real problems in your life. And I want to talk about why, what is it about our position and the process that are both there to bring us life? But so often it doesn't. So I want to talk about that. You know, the accuser of the brethren, you know, Satan, the devil, the serpent, he deceives us. Because this time of year, I was thinking about this. This time of year, we make resolutions. You know, we make vows, basically, that I'm going to stop drinking every day. I'm just going to drink on weekends. Amen. God love it. And I'm going to give more this year than I gave last year. And I'm going to be patient with my kids. I am not yelling at them anymore. And I'm not going to steal as much this year as I did last year. Or I'm not going to get caught this year. Well, I don't know what your vows are, but we do these things. I should be patient. I should be kind. And you know what? There's people around us that will agree, and they'll point it out to us. You call yourself a Christian. You know, there's also someone else that will point out to us. He's the accuser of our brethren. And you know what he does to us? He literally takes all those shoulds in the Bible. And you know, some of us try to live by the law. I mean, that slipped out. No, it didn't slip out. You either live by grace. You see, I think as Americans, we have a great ability to trust in grace for our salvation. We have a really hard time receiving the gift of grace for our life. And as an American, you know what we do? We work hard. We need to earn stuff. You know what? We're not good receivers. And I'm not the only bad receiver in this room. We're just not. When I get a gift that is what I think too much, my first thought, my first response is always like, that's too much. You shouldn't have done that. I don't. And what I'm saying is, on the inside, I don't feel like I deserve it. I feel like I didn't give you a gift, so why should you give me a gift? Because I don't deserve it. You see, that's how we live in the kingdom too. You know, and that thing inside of us is good. God created most of us to be doers, like fixers. Like, we could divide ourselves into two groups, and, you know, we could be the group of people who they try to fix things. They try to fix everything. They want to control everything so it'll be good. And then there's another group who wants to try to fix things and wants to try to control things, and they want to do it too. We're doers. And you know what? We think we have to do something to create a position with God. Well, you know, that's the trick Satan used. That's how he deceived Eve. Isn't that how he deceived her? Eve, what did God say about Eve? He created her and Adam in his image. Well, was there anything lacking in their life? No. Did they have to do anything to earn God's love and approval? No. Because God did it all. And Satan came and he touched their gifting. He said, you know, you need to do this if you really want to be in tight with the Father. If you really want to earn His love, if you want to please Him, you need to do this. You need to eat from this tree so you'll know what's right and what's wrong. And when you know what's right and wrong, then you can do what's right and that'll please God. And you need to not do what's wrong, which will make God mad at you. And Eve said, that's how you have life? And Satan said, yeah. And she ate it. It looked like a good idea to her. And y'all know what that did, right? You see, she was just tricked. Do you know what happens to us? You know what keeps us from experiencing God's grace in our life? Patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, God's anointing in your life, in your business, in your family, wisdom, patience. You know what stops that in our lives? When we take matters in our own hands. Every time I look at something, I say, you know what? I should be giving to the church. And it's not born out of love. It's not born out of relationship with God. It comes as a law. Because you know you want God to bless you, so you need to bless the church, and God will bless you. You see, that's the deception God used on Adam and Eve. It's the same deception He uses on us all the time. So, you know, it's funny. I never thought about this until I was writing this sermon. I was like, the devil is a one-trick pony. Like, you would think in thousands of years, he would have more tricks than that. The same trick he uses on Eve, he uses on us. Because if he can get us to do things in our own self-effort, even good things, then it's going to put us in bondage. And it's going to put a stop sign up between us and the Lord. The Lord wants to bless me, but I say I got it. And you know, a lot of us, we go way beyond the law because the Bible doesn't even talk about most of the stuff that we judge ourselves for. You see, it's all in Christ. The position of a believer, that's who you are by grace. By grace. Not because of anything we do, not because of anything you didn't do. It's a gift from God to you. And that's grace. And y'all are just like me. And so we're righteous in Christ. We're raised with Christ. We're seated with Christ. We're born again with Christ. We're adopted into the royal family because of Christ. All these things are true. Well, Alan, if that's true, why am I still going around this tree, this mountain again and again and again? Why do I still not see this happening in my life? Listen, because God created this process you're in to expose the places where you need to know His grace. And you and I get tired of the process. No, the process just shows me where I'm disconnected from Him, where I'm doing things in my own strength. And you know what? You need to be patient. You need to be patient. Give the process time. Because here's why it's really true. So I have a lot of verses about this. I'm not going to do them all because I don't want to keep y'all too long this morning. I love this. Therefore, my beloved, this is Philippians 2:12, right? We'll go to the next verse. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, this is Paul, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God's work, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Well, wait, Alan, you said it's grace. Now, well, actually, I didn't say it. Paul said it. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. And now Paul in Philippians is saying, work out your salvation. Well, that's confusing. Sounds like he's saying two different things. And here's what we need, because it's God who works in you. He'll change your want to's. Well, Alan, how come you don't go to those parties anymore? Because I don't want to. Alan, why don't you talk that way anymore? I don't want to. Why don't you hurt people anymore? I don't want to. You know, some of you, if you look at your life right now and look back 4 or 5 years ago, where were you during the holiday season 5 years ago? Well, you were down at the bar, or you were at a party, or you were out doing something that was not going to mess you up your life. Well, why were you doing those things? Because you want to. Because we do what we want to. Well, why aren't you doing those things now? Because God changed your want to. Why are you in church this morning? You could be anywhere today. Well, God changed your want to. Why did you give? Last week it was amazing. Y'all gave really well last week. The people at Grace did to a couple of families that needed some stuff. Three families. And it really blessed those families. Well, why did you give your hard-earned money away? Well, because God gave you a want to. It is so easy to follow Jesus when it's a want to. I don't even have to fight for it. I just want to. Why do you do that? Why were you praying this morning before daylight? And I want to. I want to be with Him. Well, but shouldn't preachers do that? Get off me. I've been doing this 40-something years. I don't do anything that preachers should do anymore. That's what you do when you're in your 20s. I do what I want to now. And it's so much easier than making yourself, than disciplining yourself to do what you want to. So it's really funny. So he says that. He's going to change our want to's. And not only does he change your want to, he also gives you the power to do what you want to. And it's all grace. Now, the question is, Paul, why are you telling me to work it out? What's he talking about? Because one thing is, our inner being, our destiny, the end of our life, it's been decided. You know, when you look at how Paul says this, by Hebrews 10:10, right? The Hebrews says this, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That's past tense, right? You guys they didn't get, maybe y'all know more English than most people around here, but past tense means it was done. And it's past tense, done and completed. Like, you can't add to it. So, were you sanctified? Yes. Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ? Yes. It's all about Jesus. Quit thinking it's about us. It's not about you. Your sanctification is because of what He did. Past tense. It's already been done. And then Paul also says in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. Well, wait, Paul, you said we are sanctified. And now you're saying we're still being sanctified. Oh my gosh, is that confusing? Like, this is the kind of thing that'll make people just give up. Like, well, God, what are you saying, Paul? Because the truth is, we are sanctified, but the process we're going through in our life, the purpose of that process is to release that what's already true in us out of us. It's in us. And this process, as we walk this through with Jesus, it gets released out of us. And that's, Jesus said, guys, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father, and I'm leaving you on earth to make all of my enemies a footstool under my feet. You know who's going to bring dominion to the world? You are. Who's going to bring life to the world? You do. And Jesus gives you the power to do it. And it's not you, it's Him in you, Christ in you, the glory of Christ, the manifest glory of Christ inside of us that changes the world. You know why this room's either happy or sad? It's because of you. Now, I'm trying to bring happy. Like, you're going to have a hard time leaving here not knowing it's really, this is a good life. This is a good world. God has a plan for you and a purpose. And you know who works out your plan and your purpose? He does. And you can't, the world can't resist Him. So they hear about that. It is finished. By that will, you've been sanctified, but you are being sanctified. The manifestation, you don't have to live on earth, and you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be happy. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to have peace and joy. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be free from your addictions and your past and the thoughts and the depression and all that garbage. It's for now. In heaven, it's already done. But you can experience it now if you'll walk with Jesus. And that's what's true. So He's already, by one offering, perfected forever those who are being sanctified. He's already done it. And when you become a Christian, you start at the end. You start with the reality of what is happening in heaven right now. Now, He also is telling us to be perfected and to live in peace, and God will be with you. Now, here's the question, what I want to look at this year, this coming year. How do we go from sitting on our derrieres waiting for heaven to change to actually embracing the change and the power of God here on earth? Or do we have to wait? You know, victory in Jesus, is that there or is it here? Well, it's here. God said, guys, I want you to bring dominion, to bring my kingdom to earth today. Now, this is true. I like Philippians 1:6 says this. I'm certain that God, like, Alan, are you crazy? Our world's getting worse. Shut up. Unless you're talking about the scripture, just shut up. That was really mean. I shouldn't have said it that way. You may want to rethink that thought before you let it out of your mouth next time. Because God says this, God who began the good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished. So you're on this earth and you're going through this process that God's taking you through to release everything that He's put inside of you out. And He's going to keep doing that until it's finished. And when's it going to be finished? Not until you're in Jesus' presence. And so guess what? Not a one of us is perfect. I don't know why we're going around judging each other when we're not perfect either. I still have stuff. You've got stuff. We have battles. We're still growing. God is transforming us into being on earth what He's already transformed us into. When God looks at us, He sees us holy, He sees us righteous, He sees us every gift and fruit of the Spirit in your life. God sees you patient. Now, how do we go from where we are to where this transformation that God wants to do? Because here's what's happening. It is going to be finished on that day. So guys, we need to quit judging each other. You need to quit judging yourself. Yeah, you see your mess ups. You see your mistakes. You know what you're ashamed of. Yeah, God does too. But God said, I'm going to complete my work in you. He sees you completed. And I see me as not completed. He sees us as fully, fully able. All I see is the things I can't do. Now, here's what God does. Philippians 2:13. I wanted to get there because it's for God is working in you. Oh, is anybody in this room more powerful than God? And God's working in you, but someone else is in you telling you you can't do it. Well, who are you going to believe? Do you know that's what transforming your mind does? You know what your mind is getting transformed from? From believing that you are everything to believing that what He says, He's everything. If Jesus said He's going to make me holy, He's made me holy. Well, you're not acting holy. I know, but I'm going to be. Because what He says is true. I am growing in faith, and I choose to believe that who Jesus says I am, that's who I am. Yeah, but there's so many. Well, get your butt out of the way, but you don't want your children saying that. So get yourself out of the way and trust Him. You know how your actions are transformed? By the renewal of your mind. Paul was so smart, he didn't even have a psychology degree. Right? As our mind is renewed. Well, what do you mean? As my mind, you know what repentance is? That word, I keep saying it over and over again, metanoia. That's what repentance is. It's a Greek word, metanoia. It's a compound word. Meta means the same as, noia means thinking, knowledge. It's the word we translate into knowledge. Well, what do you mean? Yeah, every place where I don't think the way God thinks, I choose to believe Him. No matter what I see, no matter what my experience is, no matter what my past is, I'm choosing to believe Him. Yeah, but don't you know how dirty you are? Don't you know you failed yesterday? Last night, what did you watch on TV? I know all that's true, but I choose to believe I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even though my actions didn't follow that. But who I am is who He says I am. And you know what? So you just start saying that. I challenge you to do it. Pick out your favorite failure, whatever it is. It's a homework assignment, and then we're going to be done. Pick out your favorite failure, and then I challenge you to do this. It'll be sort of funny. I wish I could be there because I would laugh at you if you would do this out loud. In the middle of your favorite failure, so let's just say you drink to relax every night. Okay, well, Alan, that's not a failure. God said take a little wine for your stomach. No, I'm talking about you drink to relax. So your peace is not coming from Jesus. It's coming from the bottle. Now, that's a long explanation. I can go into it later. But last time I read the Bible, Jesus' name was peace. He's the overcomer, not liquid peace, right? So anyway, I'll just pick peace. Let's take smoking. That'd be, I should think of something illegal. Right? Oh, let's take eating, overeating. It doesn't matter. Take your favorite thing you struggle with that you want to see gone out of your life. And next time you're facing it, ask God, God, remind me of this. You know, like maybe cussing and yelling is how you relieve the tension in your life. So the next time you're about to scream and cuss at somebody, say, I'm the righteousness of God. I am righteous. Now, when you start drinking, first time you take the drink, I'm righteous. When you start doing your thing, when you see it, and you know, you'll be able to feel it coming after a while. And then next thing you know, I'm going to tell you what happens. You do that, and one day you're going to wake up and have an epiphany from the Holy Spirit. It's called revelation. You're going to have a revelation. Well, I am righteous. I don't want to do that anymore. Well, I don't want to. Why don't you want to? Because God transformed your mind, and your mind controls your actions. And we keep trying to control our actions without our mind being transformed by Him. And if you can control your actions, who gets the credit for that? You do. No, it's for by grace you're saved, through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We should say, lest any man should take the credit for it, or lest any man should take the blame for it. Why do you mess up? Because your mind still hasn't been transformed in that area. That's okay. Jesus has I just have an epiphany for you. We're all going to keep being transformed. Nobody is there yet. If you're still on this earth, you're not there yet. Well, but you look holy and righteous. Your sister said you're not the meanest person she knows anymore. Oh, but I got plenty more stuff. More. You just can't see it. I just usually don't do it on Sunday mornings when y'all are looking at me. Right? Well, guess what? You're just like that too. It's Him. So all of a sudden, God has a plan. God's working in you. Now, you know how you work against God? Every time you try to do something in your own effort. Every time you take responsibility for something, you're working against Him. And you put up a wall, and His grace doesn't come. Guys, God wants to give you the desire. He wants to give you the want to, and He wants to give you the power to do what He does. So the want to and the can do for what He has planned for you. Do you know that this year is a special year because God has plans for you? That song really got me when we sang that song, and He knows everybody's name. Shoot, I don't know half of y'all's names, and I've known you for years. I'm not good at names, but God knows every name. And do you know that God specifically has a plan for every single one of us this year? It's going to be an amazing year. And He's working to do that in your life. How's it happen? By faith. Through grace, by faith. Faith in what? Faith in Him. See, we need to get our focus so laser focused on Jesus that nothing in this world can distract us, not even our own process. You're just in process. Yeah, but I failed. You're just in process. Whose idea was the process? Jesus. How are you going to make it through this? By believing Him and what He says about you, instead of believing what your life says about you, what your past says about you, what your wife says about you, or your husband says about you. It's Jesus is the only one that matters. And so we are transformed by the renewing of our minds to think the way Jesus thinks. You know how Jesus thinks about you? You're wonderful. Like you're as cute as the little babies that the Boyd family brought. You know, you're so cute. Jesus thinks you're just amazing. He doesn't want to change anything in you. Those of you guys that are going and coloring your hair, He likes your hair the way it was. Actually, that's a lie. He may like it colored. I don't know, but He likes you. However you are right now, He likes you. Now let Him transform your mind. Ask Him. And when next time you're facing that battle with whatever it is you battle with, just say it out loud to yourself. Say it out loud to yourself. Can't do that. Say it out loud, quietly. I am righteous. You mean while I'm drinking? While I'm taking a puff? I am righteous. And you'll find out that the truth of the gospel will impact your mind, which will impact your heart, which changes your want to and gives you a can do. Let's make this the best year ever. And let's defeat some of those decades-long enemies, those accusers, the deceiver, the author of shame and guilt, and his name is Satan. Let's make this a good year. Matter of fact, Jennifer prophesied it in the songs she sang this morning, she picked, yeah, this is going to be your best year ever. Why? Because Jesus. Let's just line up with him. And when you line up with him, everything comes alive. Position is settled. Process is how God's going to reveal his grace in our life. So it takes both. The process is good. For we are God's master priests. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? You are his masterpiece. So we can do the good things he has planned for us. Agree with him that you're his masterpiece, and he'll release the grace in your life to do what he has planned for you. Let's do it this year. Why not? God wants you to be happy. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to impact the world around you. Let's make the year that happens. Amen. Amen means so be it. I agree with you, Alan. Amen. Amen. Don't you want to be happy? Wouldn't you like to be the person Jesus says you are? You already are that person. You just need to agree with him. And then his grace will take over. And then you don't get to brag. It's all him. All right? So let's all stand up. Thank you for your patience this morning. I knew we wouldn't get it done today. But I wanted to get this seed planted in our minds. We're going after this for the next few weeks. God's going to change some things in you. And then you're going to stand back and you're going to look at yourself next year and go, my goodness, I'm different. What happened? I'm happy. I'm not bitter. What happened? I love Jesus more. What happened? Well, it's all him. It's all him. So, Father, I just thank you for this morning, for the promise that you've made, for what you've already done. So, God, I just claim that for us, for every one of us, for our families, for this city, for our nation, God, for the body of Christ, that you are working your plan, and your plans are good. So, God, I just thank you. So, Lord, I ask that you would begin to transform our minds, that we could see and hear everything the way you do. We could see ourselves, we could see our family, our friends, the way you see them. So I just thank you, King. We just lift up Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And we worship you. So this morning, we'll have a team to pray this morning. If you would like to pray with someone to hear from the Lord, they pray for you and they listen to God. They hear prophetically. They would love to pray with you this morning, okay? Be a good day to take another step with Jesus in your life, amen? So thank you for coming. God bless you, and enjoy a new year. Bye-bye.